Hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us and have this opportunity to, with us, seek to grow deeper so that the impact of your life can grow wider. This summer, we're doing a series of podcasts on how to grow in your faith, how to make sure you're someone who has a faith that drives and defines you, really an authentic relationship with God, so that you're one who shows the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You're one who is constantly growing into Christlikeness and displaying the love of God. And we said we want to be those who have more than $3 of the gospel, more than just a cultural Christianity, a traditional Christianity, but a relational Christianity, a relationship with Jesus that drives and defines us. We want more than $3 of the gospel. The problem is we are in a river, and the current of that river, even in the church, sometimes takes us away from God and causes us to live a non-relational Christianity. And a non-relational Christianity will always drift into either traditionalism and legalism or apathy and cultural acclimatization. And those are dangerous things. So we want to be those who are constantly growing in our faith. We said earlier there are five ways that we can make sure that we have a lot more than $3 of the gospel. We want to be a people who have a gospel orientation, that constantly know and experience the richness of God's love, of the fact that we're saved by grace alone and Christ alone, by faith alone, and that that faith then is something that grows, and we become those who constantly preach the gospel to ourselves. Last time we did talk on word saturation, the importance of constantly growing in our understanding and experience of the word, and being those who see the God of the Bible as he has revealed himself and are constantly understanding from him not only who he is, but what he has done for us and how he wants us to live. We want to be those who build our houses on the rock of hearing the word of God and applying it to our lives. That's an amazing story in Matthew 7. The wise man builds his house on the rock, the foolish on the sand. And to have that understanding that both are hearing the word, both are in church, both love the preaching, but when crisis and chaos come, only one stands firm, and it's the one who is hearing the word and applying it. Today, we want to talk about prayer. Prayer is the third of our growth essentials, our longing to have more than $3 of the gospel. And in fact, if we give you all five, it'd be gospel orientation, word saturation, prayer, community, living in the local church in a healthy way, and then just that relational first love devotion to Jesus, a life of repentance, of constant realignment with that relationship. And we want to cover prayer today. And if reading the Word of God is God talking to us or us hearing from God, prayer is the way we respond back to him. It's that active dependence upon him, delight in him, praise of his name, the intimacy of our relationship with him. In fact, scholar has said that prayer is like breathing for the Christian. You want to be someone who is constantly living in the presence of God. And one of the ways that you do that is you live a life of prayer, or pray continually, if you want to use the Apostle Paul's language. We want to be those who are constantly and actively living our lives in the presence of God, hearing from him, speaking to him, communicating to him in adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication. And so we want to ask the question, why is prayer important? Answer that question, and then interact with one of our elders, a good friend who is someone who loves our church dearly and has a passion to see us involved in prayer. So let's ask that question. Why is prayer so important to us? Well, I think first and foremost, we would say because we want to be those who obey the Bible. We said if we're word saturation is important to us and we're saturated with the word, we want to not only know it, but we want to live it out. And the Bible commands us to pray, to cast all our cares upon God, to not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, present our request to God. Not only is it commanded, it's also modeled, and it's modeled in so many different ways, but really the center book of the Bible is a book of praise and a book of prayer. The book of Psalms, as you read it, you're going to see all sorts of the Psalms that cry out to God, that praise God, that interact with God. Really, it is a book of prayers. Prayer is important because it's commanded, it's modeled. And I think as we understand that as Christians, we also see it's important because God is our dearest Father. He's our Abba. He's the one we cling to and run to, and it's relational. It's our greatest delight. Psalm 90, we delight ourselves in the Lord. We're those who are constantly longing to live in that relationship and to find our joy and satisfaction and strength from that. Prayer is a sign of dependence. It's our dearest Father. It's relational. It's our delight. It's what gives us joy. It's also the way we show our dependence. It's the way we actively depend on God. I love Exodus 17, where there's this war that is coming. The Amalekites are coming to attack Israel. They hate Israel. They're more powerful than Israel. And Joshua's on the ground. He's got his sword drawn. He's ready to fight with all of the Israelites. And he is a great warrior. Well, I suppose they weren't heavily trained. They were slaves. But he's there to engage in the battle. And as long as Moses' arms are lifted up in active dependence on God, the battle is the Lord's. When he lowers his hands, they lose. It's important to engage on the ground. Joshua is important, but what's absolutely essential is the active dependence on God. That's not only an Old Testament principle. It's not only a fighting the Amalekites principle. It's a biblical principle. We need to be those who are dependent on God. And then the fourth D, dearest Father, delight, dependence, it's a dedication to God's work. One of the things that the Bible is so clear on is that we do not have because we do not ask, or ask whatever you want in the Father's name, and I will give it to you to the praise of his glory, to the producing a fruit in your lives. And we need to understand that the best thing we can do in terms of serving God and of seeing God's work move forward is actually to pray, to be those who are dedicated to continually living in his presence and praying more and more. Now, how can we learn to pray more effectively? I think D.A. Carson's comment that you pray until you pray is a good one, but I think we need more than that. We need models, and the best models are those that are in the Bible, but even others that pray well, other prayer warriors, we can learn so much from. I have learned so much from the book of Psalms. We've talked about that already. From Jesus' prayer, it's so powerful, so rich when you see him instructing the disciples on how to pray. And certainly for me personally, what transformed my prayer life was a study I did of the prayers of Paul. These are the things that matter to God. And then learning to journal and understand a pattern. And I read a book by Joseph Stoll. It's called Coming Home. And one of the things that he said is that everyone who truly understands what it means to grow deeper is someone who has spent a lot of time journaling. And journaling to me was difficult, but I've found my own pattern and I'm trying then to become more and more a man of prayer. Now, interestingly enough, it's not just personal prayer that we need to do, learning from the models of Scripture, but it's interesting that those scriptural models are almost always given in community. And so we want to be not only individuals that pray, and we desperately want that. And you can't be someone who has more than $3 of the gospel unless you are involved in growing your personal prayer life. But we also want to be a church that prays. We want to be a church that has a passion for corporate prayer and pursues that with all of our might and accomplishes that because together we're praying and we are so far from where we want to be. And so I have invited a special guest today, Tim. We've already introduced you a little bit, Tim Radke. You're one of our elders. How long have you been an elder for?
Hi. Oh, good afternoon. Well, let's...
They don't know if it's
years.
Afternoon or not. It might be morning.
It might be morning.
The joys of podcasts.
Might be midnight.
So you've been an elder for 8 years.
Yep.
And you're part of our church family. It's a delight to have you here and your family. I understand you have two precious girls.
I sure do.
Maybe you should say three.
I have three precious girls. Two are five, and one is my wife.
Two are five, they're twins. You probably see them running around once in a while. They can be energetic, but they are super wonderful. Mm-hmm. Tim, you are the elder that helps us pursue being a church that prays corporately. And so I just want to ask you some questions, and maybe on behalf of the elders board, as the one who gives us spiritual leadership in this, the importance of it, you can answer these questions and we can interact a little bit on them. Why is corporate prayer so important?
Thanks, Pastor. Yeah, why is corporate prayer so important? Well, I think that there are probably many more reasons than I will give, but I have come up with a list of seven.
Seven's a good number.
Seven's a good number, a number of completion. Number one, we are exhorted to pray together. Okay, there are many passages where we get these exhortations. James 5:16 and Acts 2:42 are where I would go first. Number two, the Old and New Testaments are laden with examples of God's people praying together or being led in prayer. And these examples are there for us for a purpose. You know, they are meant to become the blueprint for us on how we should carry out such functions. Number three.
I think that one is so important. You'll see that in the New Testament church. I've often said that some of the prayer meetings in Acts are really the foundation of the blessing of the missional movement of the church. And if we want to see that expansion, that model in Acts is so powerful. Certainly carried out in the rest of the books as well.
But for sure. Number three, it's intimate and deeply relational, not only primarily with the creator of the universe, but also with one another. Number four, it unifies and edifies believers. You know, I was thinking about this a little bit, and I'm not sure that there is anything else on earth that can bring people to an absolute unification of mind and spirit than spending time together before the throne of God.
Well, I'm going to throw in maybe communion, but I kind of agree with you. I think prayer is such an, especially biblical praying, is so intimate and so unifying.
Mm-hmm.
I promised him I wouldn't interrupt too many times. So
no,
that's
good.
Part
no,
of the fun.
I'm fine. Where are we? Number five, it forms in us the habit of prayer. Listen, we need this desperately, desperately. Number six, it's an encouragement to everyone who gathers together. Listen, there's something wonderful about the masses partaking together in the things of God, which brings joy, and it will drive us to a deeper unity and love. And lastly, number seven, and really this should be number one and is number one, ultimately, corporate prayer glorifies God. And that must be the primary focus of everything we do. So when we act in obedience to the call and we truly understand that without him, we can do nothing, the only option is to come together and pray.
I wonder sometimes, I loved your seven there, Tim. I think that's so helpful. And thank you for the prayer and thought you put into that. I wonder sometimes if one of the reasons we don't succeed at having heavy engagement in corporate prayers, we just have such a small view of God, a small view of prayer because of that, and then a misunderstanding of even your last one, which I agree with you, it's really our mission statement, right? We exist to glorify God and then the overflow of that. I wonder if sometimes we don't exist to glorify God, we exist to have a successful or comfortable or convenient life. And so therefore, how does prayer help us? Well, prayer is actually an inconvenience. So I think those seven are so helpful. And I'd encourage you to go back over those. If you stop and play this podcast again, play them short, you know, slow down from 1.75 that you were on and listen to what Tim has shared with us. Because I think if you can get some of those in your heart, then prayer meeting becomes a priority. Maybe next to Sunday morning and growth group, the third most important gathering that we have as a church. Tim, how can we, so we're seeking as elders, this has been our passion for a number of years, maybe not as successful as we would have liked to be, but how can we get more people engaged in corporate prayer?
Yeah, you know, that is a great question. And it's actually one that I've given a lot of thought to over the last, you know, 8 to 10 months. It's been said that you can tell the health of a church by looking at how well their prayer service is attended and prioritized. And I think that we have done a really good job in exposing and encouraging our people to see the need to worship the Lord in this way. You know, we've done video messages. We've reminded everyone from the pulpit on numerous occasions and in the pre-service announcements. We've sent out reminders by way of email. Pastor, your blog, you mentioned it almost weekly. Just a vast array of ways in which we have tried to engage and encourage our people of this wonderful time of worship together. The list of ways that we have tried to encourage and engage is long, it's comprehensive, and yet as urgent as corporate prayer is, there seems to be the mindset, generally speaking, that it isn't. And the reason I think that we think that way is because there really is nothing hindering us from doing what we want to do. We typically live pretty easy lives. Most of us have the resources to choose exactly what we want to do and when we want to do it. I think, however, if we're honest with ourselves, if, and when we evaluate our lives as we hold the Bible up as our mirror, we will see that we can be pretty selfish with our time, our talents, and our treasures. And oh, we may not want to be, but the hard, honest reality might be that we are selfish. But here's the truth. Any thought or idea that doesn't have Jesus as the first and foremost priority in our lives in every aspect of our lives is a false gospel. And it's one that we really should be aware of. Now, having said all that, sorry, back to your question. How can we get more people engaged in corporate prayer? Well, number one, we pray. And I don't think that's ironic given what we're talking about, because we both know that prayer is used by God to accomplish his will. So we must pray.
Maybe the most important thing we can do.
Agreed.
Encourage you who are listening, pray not only for your own heart to be shaped by that, but also for our congregation, that more and more we'd be a church that prays corporately together.
Mm-hmm. I will just add too that praying is a part of his will. So if we believe what he's told us, we don't have a choice. Now, specifically, we must pray for fellow believers to walk worthy of the calling with which we've been called. And I think corporate prayer is one of those necessary habits that overflow from a right understanding of that call. Okay. Number two, we need to stop making excuses for the things we do or don't do. Listen, we have the responsibility, we have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to put Jesus first in everything we do. So as much as we encourage and try to have everyone understand the importance of corporate prayer, there is a real sense in which each person needs to respond to the call that the Holy Spirit is placing on their heart. We are creatures who are capable of making decisions, of disciplining ourselves and sacrificing our wants and desires, again, as the Spirit works in us, but we must continually be choosing things that bring us closer to God. It's hard. Putting God first all the time is difficult. We still have our sin nature, and the war that rages with our flesh is relentless, not to mention the pressures that are put on us from the world. But my own experience, and I know the experience of many of you listening to this, is that when we respond in faith and we put God first in every situation, the blessing that he gives us is so great, it far outweighs anything that we can get from this world. So we need to prioritize such things. Now, the trouble is not that there isn't enough time in the day. The trouble is using that time for the most important things. And so the truth of the matter is that you will find the time for what is most important to you. You need to think about that for a moment. Finally, we need to realize that by joining one another in prayer, we grow closer to God and we grow closer together, which is one of the ways that we beautify his bride.
Well, and that's a high priority for us and so important. I love what you're saying. I think all of us to some degree in the flesh, battle in the world, the demonic realm attacking, struggle with being self-deceived and selfish. And I think your call in this is just a wake-up call to everyone who's listening. Mm-hmm. If this is truly something that God feels is important and your elders know from the Word of God is important, then we need to respond to that and to become a church that prays because we choose to pray in the midst of our schedules because it's a high priority for us.
Yeah.
Loved what you had to say. Anything else you want to say about that, Tim?
No, I think that's good for that question.
All right. So my next question, why do you think most churches struggle with getting people into their prayer meetings? I suppose we do to some degree, or don't even have them at all. I visit with a number of pastors around Canada and most churches, I would even say the vast majority, no longer have corporate prayer meetings.
Yeah. And that's so sad, you know, when you think about the importance of it. But I think the struggle really is largely due to the reasons I just gave. But in addition, I think in many ways, the North American church has become extremely consumeristic, right?
Yeah.
So we've somehow been deceived that we get to determine what we think is best and we get to pick and choose what we like. You know, we get our little fill on Sunday morning, sometimes not even by being gathered together with the saints in a worship service, because we have the ability to just tune in to church online. And we've somehow cultivated this mentality that we can just go out, live our lives. Not that they're heavily laden with sin or anything like that, but, you know, we put Jesus in our back pocket and we pull him out when things go awry. Now, obviously, that's a bit of an overstatement, and I don't think it's a major factor in our church, but we would be pretty naive to think that this isn't happening with some in our midst. Listen, I think this all comes to a head with this one statement from our Lord Jesus, quoting Luke 9:23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I'm not convinced that we truly understand what this means. And like you said earlier, Pastor, many seem to just want $3 of the gospel, please. Prayer is fundamental. You cannot be a Christian and not pray. There is no such thing. Now, in my mind, and perhaps not necessarily true in all regards, but corporate prayer, I think, is an overflow of personal prayer. And if that's true, I think we're in real trouble. So why do most churches struggle with getting people to their prayer meetings or don't have them at all? Well, I would say it's partly the $3 gospel analogy, but also a poor understanding or unwillingness to deny ourselves and give God the first fruits, right? The first fruits of all of our time, talent, and treasure. Now, I can only think of one major reason why churches might not have prayer meetings at all. In large part, it's because they're so poorly attended. You know, as non-negotiable as prayer is for the life of the Christian and for the life of the church, it still takes time and effort to plan, lead, and minister to God's people. And when only a handful of people show up, it can be discouraging. Even more troubling is the fragmentation seen and felt within the body of Christ because we aren't partaking together the way that God designed us to. And so they find other ways and ministries to pour their efforts into. And that might be okay if it's a secondary ministry, but prayer is one of the main pillars of our faith. Something isn't right if we aren't praying and we aren't praying together.
Yeah, I really like that. I think the idea of it being an overflow of our personal prayer life is a good one. I would also say if you're struggling in your own prayer life, then probably you don't come to the corporate prayer meeting. But one of the ways you can grow in your personal prayer life is to come to the corporate prayer meeting and learn not only how to pray biblically, but to follow other models and be encouraged in your prayer. So totally agree with you on that, Tim. And I think it's important that we encourage you to personal prayer and at the same time to corporate prayer and to see this as really the heartbeat of our church. In fact, Jesus, I think, now he's talking about the temple, but I think he would want us to be known as a house of prayer. So Let me ask you one final question. How can we become the house of prayer that Jesus wants us to be?
Yeah, great question, because it is so important. I have two items that if we hear and do, remember, it's critical that we don't just stop at the hearing. I think and believe that the Lord Jesus will bless mightily, and with him leading the charge, we will be unstoppable. Number one, very simple. Love Jesus. Learn what this means and what it entails. Number two, in light of number one, love others.
Sounds like the Great Command.
I know, right? And everything outflows from that. Did you know that your love for others is on full display when you come to pray with them and for them? It is so beneficial to our souls. Not only do we help each other in being accountable, spurring one another on to love and good works and holiness, but we bear one another's burdens. We praise and glorify God together as we see his grace given so freely and in such a vast array of ways to his children. And then we move forward together, right? Arms interlocked with one another as we draw closer to eternity, trusting in him for our next step, for our next breath. I don't know about you, but don't you look around and see the tide shifting swiftly and in most cases with force? You know, the prince of the power of the air is not only working overtime, but has already got this world tightly in his grasp and consumed with evil. Is now not the time to call upon the name of the Lord? And I guess that's always been the mandate throughout human history, but Pastor, you've been preaching on this for a while from 1 Peter, that the end is near, right? And it's closer than it's ever been. And the world is distancing itself further and further away from its creator. We need the Lord. We need him now. We need more of him now. And prayer is one of the keystone ways to prepare for what's coming and how he will strengthen us to be able to stand firm in whatever storm comes our way together.
I think that's so good. I just to kind of reiterate, I don't think you can love God without being someone who prays. And then I think you overflowed from that and said, really, and I'm not using your words, but I wonder if you would agree with this. Is it possible for a Christian to love someone if they're not praying for them? And I'm just thinking of the Apostle Paul in that case. Mm-hmm. the prayer he has an overflow of his love for those believers. It just seems like he starts every letter with his love and then his prayers, and they're hand in hand. And so let me answer my question. Is it possible to love someone as a Christian if you're not praying them? I think the answer is no. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
I actually would agree with that. Funny enough, I'm reading through Carson's book again called Spiritual Reformation. And going through the prayers of Paul, and this is his heart's cry, and something that has really struck me again. And 100% agree with you.
That's a prayer book. If you're looking for a book on prayer that transformed my prayer life, each of our elders has it, mm-hmm. and I think has read it at least once. At least that's our call for them when they join our elders board, because we want to be an elders board that models this kind of prayer.
Yeah.
Tim, is there anything else you want to share?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd say a couple things. I love our church deeply. I think God is blessing us immensely, and it is a joy and a privilege to serve alongside of you, Pastor. I think you'd agree that we aren't where we want to be or where we should be, and so with you, long for us to be those who would take our faith seriously and who are constantly, with God's help, growing, always striving forward, striving toward the goal. My prayer for CBC is to have robust times of gathered prayer. On Sunday mornings, absolutely, but any other time that we decide to meet and pray as well. I will take this opportunity to remind you all that we will be starting our monthly prayer service again once in September. As you know, we've been meeting once a month throughout the year, and my prayer and hope is that we would see how vital corporate prayer is to the health of the church and commit. Right? We have a choice to make, so we commit to joining together to pray. Now, on Tuesday evenings, because we have a weekly prayer meeting throughout the summer, but then in September, when we kick off once again. And God will not frown on us for giving more of ourselves to Him and others. You know, Pastor, I was thinking about this. Wouldn't it be amazing if CBC was the standard by which other churches in our community and our city look to for drawing closer to God, having real gospel impact, and being blessed by Him as we strive with all our might to love Him as He is called. Listen, God will bless us as we are faithful in our love toward Him. That's His promise. One last thing. We want God to move, right? We want His blessing and His favor, right? We want to see the hand of the Almighty at work in His people, in His church at CBC, and around the world, right? If so, then we need to pray to those ends together. As James says, you do not have because you do not ask. May we take that small portion of scripture to heart, not that we will receive everything we ask for, but that we would be very aware that we will not receive anything because we do not ask. Amen.
Amen. I just really appreciate what you've had to say. And I think when we are a church that wants $3 more of the gospel, well, man, we want a lot more than $3 of the gospel. And we see from His word that God is transcendent, holy, 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 and yet imminent. He wants to talk to us. We can approach the throne of grace with boldness. Mm-hmm. That the gospel saturation, really, we become those who are so gospel-oriented that it's what we think about the word. We become those who know the word so well that we can fly in the face of the culture and stay loyal to God, not traditionalists and not those who adjust to the world. And then those who pray constantly, mm-hmm. alone and together.
Yeah.
And I think if we start to do these things, and yes, there's two more, community and of course, living a life of intimate relationship with God. But if we can see the greatness of God and His love and treasuring of us, we will pray, mm-hmm. and we will be those who individually and corporately become more and more the house of prayer that God wants us to become. Thank you, Tim, for joining us.
My pleasure.
This has been the Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We hope that in the length of this one, I think our longest one yet, my creative genius is looking at me and going, boy, that Tim, he's got lots of words to say. We hope that this has helped you not only understand the importance of prayer, but even more would drive you to personal prayer and to make it a priority to come and to join us in corporate prayer so that Cloverdale Baptist Church, as we move forward on our knees, will impact the world and each other for the glory of our King.